And I want to thank the church for allowing me to stand behind this pulpit and present the Word of God. It's a blessing. Amen. Truly, as God's children, we often fail in separating ourselves from the world and to be among our brothers and sisters in Christ. The older you get, of course, it gets a little more difficult. But we must be reminded that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We must serve our God. In the book of Romans, chapter 11, Romans chapter 11, we'll start reading with verse 34. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who was first given unto him, and it should be recompensed unto him again. For of him, through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. We're going to use sort of as a starting point when we speak of the glory of our great God. Truly, as God's children, even after all of these years of being in the Lord's house and hearing His Word taught and preached, we often fail in truly acknowledging how great our God is. Our words fail us. And then I thought, there's not words that's worthy other than what the Lord says in His Word. To speak of God, what a great blessing. What a great privilege that so many seem to flee, turn around and walk no more with our Lord, and speak of His greatness and how He has blessed us. Words do fail us. It is not easy to put into words the great worth of the joy and the salvation and the love of our God that He has given unto us. No man can know nor understand the joy that is in our hearts, each and every child of God. It is a time when the world ceased to be on the day of our spiritual birth. When through the Holy Spirit of God, He touches our soul. None can see, none can know, apart from our own hearts, what the Lord has done in saving our souls. What a great blessing for the child of God. Our minds are not even equal to the task of speaking of His glory and of His greatness. It is easy as it is, in every way, that we speak the words in great humility. We're not worthy. You know, there was a name of God which they spoke of in the Old Testament, in which they would not speak it, the Jewish nation, because they feared or stood in awe of our great God. I often think of Moses when he come face to face, as it were, with the burning bush on top of the mount. And he was able to see, I believe, the power and the majesty and the greatness of our God, like so few have been able to witness. Truly, we are blessed in a great and mighty way. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3, and verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. Truly we fall far short in the accolades, as it were, like a better word, or the praise that we give of our God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But could you imagine? God put it in two words. I am. When we stand in need of prayer, our God says, I am here. And he hears and answers our prayers. When we need a spiritual uplifting, he takes us to his word and he says, I am here. Hear me speak. Many would question why is a necessity that we go to the house of God and we hear oftentimes, you know, like we have been for 47 years and some of you longer. But we are reminded. Our hearts are renewed. And the joy of our salvation is made even greater when we hear his word. And we share with others the story of our life and our joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we not tell them that I am have sent me? You know, oftentimes we fail, and I think we touched upon this last night. When we go and we witness to someone or we speak to them or we have prayer with them, wherever they may be, all we should tell them, now listen to what I've got to say, for God has sent me to you. And that not what Moses said. He didn't go down and say, okay, this is the way we're going to do it. He said, I am has sent me. The God, the Creator, has sent me to tell you of these things. Truly, that is our calling. That is what we are to hear as God's children. We are to serve the Lord. We think of him as we've read in the Word of God, which he was, he is, and he shall be. He has changed not. Amen. There's so many in the world today that have decided that, you know, they will say, well, I'm going to change God's opinion on this. As we have grown, they think, in their knowledge and their wisdom and their understanding of the false teachings of the world, they think they've outgrown God. But we are to tell them that he changes not. They tried to make it different. They want it new, exciting, and they need simply to preach the truth concerning Christ unto a lost and a dying world. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, Revelation, chapter 1, and verse 8. Our Lord speaks. He says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Oh, why do we not speak such powerful words? In our daily walk, in our daily conversation, why do we not bring up God and how he has blessed our soul and given unto us eternal life, the Almighty God, the Creator? You know, so many times I think of Paul at the foot of Mars Hill. When he looked upon the mountain as it was full of idols from all over the world. And he told them, I'm going to tell you about the God, the unknown God, whom you ignorantly worship. And he spoke of the Creator. And I'm sure that he condemned the ungodly idols and the false worship that was going on even in that day. Which is the greater worth, to know the words or to believe them, as God has enlightened us through the Holy Spirit and the preached word? There's many people I have come in contact with in this world who would be able to quote a verse of scripture. They say the words, But they do not know. They do not believe what the Bible says. There's a difference. Oh, there's a great and a mighty difference to be able to speak portions of the Word of God. It's like the old story we heard when the old gentleman went to the amphitheater, whatever they call them. I didn't say that right. But he went, and they had the great orator come out, and he stood up before the crowd, and he read unto them with a great booming voice the 23rd Psalm. And then their old preacher, and I always make it a little better, he come out upon the stage of the amphitheater, and they give him the microphone, and the old Baptist preacher quoted the 23rd Psalm. And as the story goes, he said when he got done, there was total silence in the room. And what was the difference? He knew the author of that psalm. Truly, we as God's children must speak of His Word. We must speak of it in truth with power and authority given unto us by Almighty God. That we tell them He is the mighty God and the Almighty Creator of all things. In Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, we've heard this preached many times. But I took a moment to sit and to look what the meaning of these words truly were. As God spoke to my heart, Wonderful, all things that pertain to the joy and the fulfillment of our eternal life, given unto us by Almighty God, how wonderful it is. There's no joy apart from Him. They may have a fleeting moment of happiness, but there's no truly great joy. He is the Counselor who empowers us with godly wisdom, who has taught us through the days and the years of our life and the blessings of being in the presence of our great God. It speaks of the mighty God. There is no bounds. He is all things that pertain to life and eternal life. The everlasting Father. The Father of eternity. And it is His to give. And His alone. For there's none that will ever be into heaven upon the fables of men, but on the truth of God's Word and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. Beloved, there is no peace apart from our God. There's no peace. Look at the world. You go into place and you work and you slave and you lose lives of our military and you turn your back and you walk away just a few miles and they're in a big civil war. There's no such thing as peace. Man is all about self. They have no part of God. They want to rule and reign within themselves, and they take no knowledge of our God. Man has never been able to achieve within themselves a foothold into the glorious things of our God. They failed to acknowledge Him, for they do not know Him, as we who have been saved do know Him. True peace. Not one word, nor thought, nor deed, or any thoughts of man can give such thing as we have, the gifts we have through our great God. See, they go out and they meditate and they rock back and forth and they climb a mountain and they get away from the world, but they're still sinners. And they acknowledge not the creator of the mountain. And they know not God, for they have no part of his holy word. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 3. Deuteronomy, chapter 3. And verse 24. O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand, for that God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might. You know, he says here, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness. Oh, we don't, a song we used to sing, we don't know the half of it now. We have no idea what Christ endured upon the cross of Calvary. In that ninth hour when all the world grew dark and the Heavenly Father poured out his wrath upon the beloved Son. Oh, what a moment. We do not understand. You take the older preachers and you hear them and they say, I learn something new every day. Don't think you know enough. Desire more in the knowledge and the wisdom of our great God. Thou hast only begun to show thy servant thy greatness. You know, one great and glorious day we'll know how, you know, we sing that song, How Great Thou Art. And our tears should roll down our cheeks to acknowledge our God in such a song, in such a praise. How great thou art! And we still don't know. We're bought with a price. The Word of God says we're bought with a price. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ who paid that price. We are humbled just simply to speak his name tonight. What of you? I fear many of us speak so many idle words as we walk through this life. We speak of this or that, the weather. We complain and gripe and growl. We were laughing and joking out on the parking lot yesterday evening that some people are going to be cold, some people are going to be hot. And here we're going in and everybody was complaining about being in the upper 90s every day. And now that it's cool, they're complaining it's too cool. But we who have God, we need to learn to be, as God's children, satisfied with what he has given us in this life. We shouldn't have time to complain. Should we pray for the lost and serve our great God? He's just begun. So let us dig in our heels. Let us go in our closets. Let us, as God's children, seek more knowledge and wisdom and understanding of the Word of God that we might truthfully praise him and worship him in spirit and in truth. We are humbled. We are humbled this night that God has allowed us to be here and to serve him and to speak of his name. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, and verse 24. And ye said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness. We have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man and he liveth. You know, one of my favorite songs, you ask me how I know he lives within my heart. I don't have the words, but I have praise. I have joy. I have peace as God's child. I have nothing to fear For he has promised that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's coming to take me to be home with him. What a great blessing. He says here, as we tear this down just a little bit and look at it, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory. Have we not seen his glory? As a preacher, when you stand in the front of the church at the conclusion of the services, or wherever you may be, and you share with those that's within the sound of your voice the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no greater miracle than them to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We could witness nothing greater if the mountains were moved to the oceans, or whatever we might see. There's nothing greater than the salvation of a lost soul. We have witnessed the glory of God and of his greatness. Oh, how great thou art, we often sing. But do we think of the words? Do we think of him? And do we praise his holy name? He is truly great. We have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. You know, a message I'm going to preach, I think, in a few days, or maybe tomorrow, is we hearing voices. We hear a lot of voices, don't we? So many voices in this world, whether it's one another here and tonight, whether it's the people in the world, in our government, there's words flying all around us. And oftentimes we're so absorbed with the voices and the sounds and the noise of this world that we fail to give our God praise. We become overflowed. But there's one voice that we've heard on the day of our spiritual birth. When that still, small, quiet voice speaks to the heart of a lost soul and shows them that they're sinners and that they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No greater miracle, no greater power. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man. Now, if you get nothing else out of tonight, let me assure you, God talks to man through his holy word. You want to get closer to God? Pick up your Bible every day. Read portions of the word of God. Learn tonight that it is not the preacher, it's not even your own mouth or your own lips or your own tongue, but take it as God speaking unto you, child of God. For truly it is. The world considers that it's just simply a book. But it is God who speaks unto his children through his word. Oh, he's just begun to teach us. And so many times we lean back in the pew and we cross our arms and we allow our minds to wander, instead of hearing God as he speaks. We must remind the world, hear God. This is his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. You want to hear God speak? Here's the Bible. Let me read you portions of the word of God. For truly he is a great God, and we can speak to him as God's children, and speak of his glory and of his praise. Our Lord does live today. You know, that's a great blessing. You know, it says right there, you know, we talked about two words at the beginning of our message. I am. He tells us here, it says he lives. He lives. So many in the world today are looking for, they know not what, and they're going to and fro in this earth, and they don't know what they see, but we know he lives, for he is within our hearts. We feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit of God. All we need to tell them, we're not preaching unto you a dead Savior. He rose from the grave. He lives. And eternal life is given unto the lost through the hearing of the word and the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. How often do you tell those that you come in contact with, God has sent me? All of us, I don't believe that. I tell you what, he lives and he sent me. A lot of people say, I don't know, I've never heard God speak. If you, as a child of God, are busy in your daily routine and someone comes upon your mind that maybe they need prayer, or maybe it's a lost person, then pray for them, because it is God speaking to your heart, because this robe of flesh will go in every direction. The thoughts of our hearts freely flow, but when God speaks, and he tells us, talk to that one. Speak of them, of your God. Share with them the word of God. Then I believe that we hear God speak through those little voices, or the leadership of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, Acts chapter 17 and verse 22. Then Paul stood at the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar which was inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Is that not our calling? As Sovereign Grace Missionary Baptist, as born again believers in Jesus Christ, this is our calling. We, like Paul, could stand before them and say, you ignorantly worship. How foolish it is. We speak of a God who saves, and we declare unto the world his greatness and the mighty love of our God. What do people think about God? I tell you what, you go around and you stand on the street corner and you survey people, you'll have a million different answers. How do you put into words God? They know not. But we know, by the authority of God's word, we can tell them, thus saith Almighty God. We lead them in the path of truth and not deception. Those foolish people in Athens who would go to the top of the hill and stop at every monument or every statue and wonder in their hearts, is that really God? You know, it's a wonderful study to look in the Old Testament for those who created the statues and the idols of the day and the time. And it tells you they cannot move their arms, they cannot move their legs, they can't walk, they can't speak, they don't think. They're just worthless pieces of stone. And it says those who worship them are like unto them. So therefore, we must start with a sovereign God, a great God. We must share with them his word and only the truth of God's word. And we pray that he will send the Holy Spirit to do a great work in him. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. In all your ways acknowledge him. We have too many hours of the day when we speak not of our God, that we do not acknowledge him. How many times have we had a blessing and we fail to tell people? We say, well, thank you very much, instead of telling the Lord has worked a mighty work. We're truly blessed. You know, there's one time when me and the wife were fairly young, and I was out of work for a very long time. And I kept trying to get a job, and it was when there was no jobs to be had. And she went, I believe, to the store or run an errand or whatever, and I got a phone call. And the man I went to see, he said, he told me, he said, the only way I'm going to get rid of you is to hire you and to get you out of my office. And I said, yes, sir. And when I got home, he called me. He says, do you want a job? When the wife pulled into the driveway and parked the car, I jumped. It was three or four steps. I jumped off every one of them, shouting praise to Almighty God. You know, we allow a certain group of people to shame us in how outspoken they are concerning the things of God. You know, the world is making a lot of noise. The false religions are making a lot of noise. But we are not shouting the praise and the honor and the glory that is due our God. Why do we not? Thank you, Lord! There's nothing wrong with it. When you're out on the riding mower and you're going around your yard, why not sing a hymn? You see people going along and their heads banging down. They got them little buds or whatever they call them in their head. And they're listening to some kind of trash. When we could sing Amazing Grace. You know, I was going through the plant where I worked several years ago. And I was singing How Great Thou Art. I got a little bit farther and I started singing another song, What a Day That Will Be. And a man hollered over at me and it's noisy in there because I was singing real loud. And I wasn't thinking anything about it. I was walking down an aisleway all by myself. He said, can't you sing anything else? I said, Amazing Grace, how sweet to sing. Yes, sir, I can sing. I've got a repertoire that I can sing if you want to hear it. I said, I love my Lord. He loved me. We don't make any noise. We don't sound out before the world how great a God that we do have. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, it says. Praise the Lord. You know, I may have said it here, but I preached one time. I told him about, it's about the Baptist on the little pond. It's frozen over in the wintertime. There's many times you go out on that pond. We used to when I was a kid. We had and you get out in the middle of it and you hear it, and it's cracked. And every step you take, it cracks. You put faith in God. When you get ready to go and have surgery, you put faith in God. You leave it in His hand. You use that for an opportunity to share with those who's going to work on you. What a great God you do serve. And He will heal. And we are blessed as God's children. Acknowledge Him. Make some noise. I think many times as we as God's children are in the house of God and we get ready to sing songs at the beginning of the service, if someone would walk past the door, they wouldn't hear us that. Why don't we sing? And raise our voices, not for a show, but because of the greatness of our God and the joy of His salvation and the fellowship of His church and the love of our God. Why are we silent? Why don't we not make some noise? In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22, and Enoch walked with God. After that, Methuselah, 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. He walked with God. You know, we as God's children, those who profess to love the Lord, do we walk with God? Do we truly walk with Him? And give praise to those that will hear. See, we ought to be different from the world. And those around us. We are to speak of Him. We are to dress and act like Him. As, you know, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We must serve our great God. Do you walk with Him? Or do you like some of the religions out there that they're religious inside of the church house and then they live like the devil all day long? We need to be careful. We need to walk with Him and to follow Him as God's children. In closing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. That they walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His glory, kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. He says that ye would walk worthy of God. We lost sight of that. We many times say, well, I'm doing the best that I can do. No, I believe we can do better. Amen. As God's children, we can be faithful to the Lord's services. We can read in His word and grow in wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the God. And we can make a little noise in this world. Let us acknowledge our great, sovereign, holy, righteous God who has saved our soul. He's given us everything. Everything. For He is worthy of all these things as God's children. Truly, what a great God. Let us tell all that will hear of His greatness, brother.